You're listening to Panel Borders, which is the podcast version of Resonance FM's weekly show about the world of comics. I'm Dickon Harris, and this episode is continuing our month of shows about anthologies and collectives. At last year's Bristol's International Comics Expo, I recorded a panel about the Swedish manga created by a new publisher called Yoke Studios, which is introduced by their founder, Fredrik Stromberg. Since then, Yoke won an award for the best Swedish comic book of 2008, Kickoff Issue 1, which is about a footballer who can talk to ghosts. So we're really happy to be belatedly podcasting that particular panel. The recording is made by Dictaphone, apologies, so you'll have to forgive the digital compression. First though, here's a quick word from our sponsors.
Resonance FM is London's only non-profit community radio art station, who need your donations to help keep the station and podcasts on air. All the program makers and all the engineers all work for free to bring you shows as diverse as The Bike Show, The Free University of the Airways, Hooting Yard, Speakers Resonance Corner, FM accepts donations in the form of cheques, credit and debit cards, radio, bank transfers, country, PayPal and cash. Go to www.resonancefm.com for more details. We also accept hobnobs and teabags. Your donation means our continued existence.
Right, so this is Bristol International Comics Expo and the Manga Expo panel. My name is Fredrik Stromberg, and I'm heading a panel with the Swedish comics artists who are inspired by, well, manga and Asian comics, and more specifically, mostly with the members of the Yoke Studio.
I'm Gordon, and I'm from Yoke Studio. Sometimes I'm helping out with the project and stuff. Okay.
That was short.
That's
your
game.
We are many from the studio here.
Yeah, we are four persons actually.
You can fill in a little bit.
You can actually tell by the t-shirts, right? So, because this is Yoke Studios here. We're sort of mixed in.
Psychics.
Yeah.
Do you want to jump in?
No, just do the jump
in. Stop that.
In order.
Yeah. My name is Kaifa, and I'm the co-founder in the Yoke Studio. Me and Josh, we started one day because I like to write scripts for movies and for games, and then I found Josh that was very good at drawing, and then we thought like why don't we collaborate, because her stories was
no more Yoke Studio.
so that's why we have our name Yoke. It's a combination of Yosh and Kaifa.
Yeah, so it's not actually Japanese, but many people think it is. Yeah.
That's good, because I've been asked, how do you pronounce that? People from Japan and China, they go, I'm not sure how to pronounce this.
It's not Japanese.
Yeah, and our logo here, it looks like a kanji, but it's actually not.
It's a Y and K English, yeah. We just made it look Asian, because we are Asians. We have parents from Hong Kong, so we think it's a nice thing to merge them together, the West and the Chinese, and yeah, the person who is really observant, maybe they can see the Y and K.
Yeah, we just twisted it a little bit.
Yeah.
So it looks like a kanji.
Yeah. And I can present myself. My name is Josh, and I'm the co-founder of Yoke Studio, and I'm also his girlfriend. This is my sister, and that is my cousin. We have a family studio. When we founded Yoke Studio, there were this manga boom in Sweden. It was really exciting. It was right after Dragon Ball hitting and taking the kids away. But Dragon Ball was already big to us when we were younger, because we have parents from Hong Kong and relatives who still live there. And they used to tape all these Cantonese dub anime of Japanese comics made into animations, and they sent them to us, and we watched them when we were kids. So we were influenced already from a very small age.
Yes, so we got a little head start, so we have been drawing for a couple of years before the manga.
Yeah, we passed that crying standing you. Not
all of us, really. I was about 18 years old. I was really almost crying when they said that it was sold out.
No, for you.
You know, it's for 10 to 12 year olds.
I know, but I've been longing so.
You're forgiven.
That's right.
is, now there are many others in Sweden, not only Dragon Ball, they have One Piece. Actually, almost the same, but they are widening, broadening their genres. We have the female, very popular shoujo style comics. And actually, they are starting to get interested in Swedish manga graphic novel artists. So now we are commissioned, not real commission, but we're working together with one of Sweden's biggest manhwa publishers. And we're making a very long graphic novel in Swedish measurement. It's long. It's going to be 6 volumes long.
I don't know if you know about it, because it's been a little bit secret.
No. Well, it's sort of been rumored, but...
Really?
Yeah.
Maybe I kept it from you all.
No one can keep anything from me.
Oh, okay.
And you can't keep anything either.
No, true. So don't tell me if you want it to be secret.
Yeah, but now it's official.
Right.
We got green light, like, just before we got here, we got green light.
I'm Soya, I'm also a part of the studio, and I do my own illustration work as well as outfish with our bigger projects.
With our bigger projects?
Our bigger projects.
And you have also won a lot of competition.
Do you have to say that?
Yes.
A couple of years before, I was really into sending off my own manga into competitions.
You placed first in the student.
I was going to get to that.
Sorry.
The International Manga and Anime Festival in Britain. Has someone heard about that? It's not going on anymore, right? But a couple of years before, I set off my mind and thought, maybe I have a chance at this. And then I ended up winning a category. And then I thought,
It was pretty big, but the people in Sweden didn't know of it. I mean, it's bigger in UK placing the first, but in Sweden it was like, shh. So we thought, okay, then we sent her to compete again in a Swedish talent manga competition, and then she won that one also. Mm-hmm. So then they got their eyes on her. So I guess it's very tough to make her name outside Sweden. So this is the studio's first appearance outside. And we hope that one day we'll get our manga published in English. We'll see about that.
So if we have any publisher here, then...
You're hiding? You're
please all raise your hand now.
So many.
Yeah. Thank you, Sophia.
Yeah. I broke up with manga 2 years ago.
I'm still here.
I think Ilya is responsible for that. I don't know if you've seen this, because this is a Spanish edition. The English is so bad. This is El Gran Libro del Manga.
Which is a great title.
Yeah, it is. It's nice. And the first, the second, and the third come this song. So, Ilya's favorite or something.
Whoa.
I draw comics, and I illustrate children's books. And I would like to discuss manga and things, but I hate talking about myself. So, anyone has anything to do?
I'm going to ask a question. That's fine. You have to show this one also.
Okay. This is a mini comic. It's not in a very large edition. So if you want to show Michael Wilson's table at the expo, there's 5 issues or something? Oh, five copies. 5 copies, exactly.
I think we'll do this. We'll run out a couple of these. You can go.
Okay.
Send them around. Yeah, all right. I'll take that as well. Send those around.
Yeah, we didn't brought any books with us because they're still at our table at the convention. So if you want to see what we're doing, you can just come by and say hi and ask us some questions.
Yeah.
And they also have a computer, really.
Yeah, we have a computer game. I'm, like I said earlier, I like games, so I tried to push our studio to make some games also.
Yeah, and we have made a couple of them.
Yeah, we actually made 2 games so far. One of them won the Swedish Game Award 2006 for best concept, and we brought that game with us today, So if you have any time, just come by and try it.
And I can tell about the second game. The second game is called Planet Redana. It means Planet Rescuers. We were commissioned by Worldwide Fund of Nature, you know, the WWF, with the panda logo, the very nice guys.
And girls.
And girls. And they told us these are the kids today. They have so many mediums to look at. And they think they're getting a little bit old-fashioned because they're always sending out magazine, but the kids get a little bit tired of them. So they thought, but manga is really big in Sweden, and games, kids love games, so why don't merge these two together? It's actually already been made in Japan, actually. But anyways, they found us, and then they asked us to make this funny game for the kids. So now we have a flash game with, it's actually a quiz game about environment and with focus on energy. We haven't brought the game with us, but if you're interested, you can come by our table and we will give you the internet address to the game. All the questions are in Swedish.
That's sorry. but it's a very good game.
Yeah.
You should try it anyway.
Exactly.
So it's not Bash the Panda game?
No.
Just asking.
I actually asked them if they wanted to have a Bash the Panda game, but they said no.
Too bad. Too bad.
Maybe later.
Yeah,
said no violence, no guns, nothing of that sort. So it's a really nice, kind game for kids.
I would like to ask, since there's four of you, and you make up a studio, what does that mean? Why are you a studio?
Well, it's because the manga publish rate is so high. So if you're working alone, then you maybe need to work for 1 year, 1.5 years to get a book from script done. And then when we started our studio, we thought that maybe we can collaborate, and then we maybe can lower our production time, so we can make a book in about five months.
Yeah, 5 months.
So if we are working fully, then we can get 2 books a year, and that's then hopefully our fans don't need to wait a year until the next book and then maybe forget it or getting too old.
Yeah, because that's been the main concern of the Swedish publishers, that they like the Swedish manga artists, but I think most of them are working alone, and they don't believe we can make up to the publishing time, because they think, okay, you can make a book in one year, but if you are making a longer manga series, and each book is coming out once a year, then the kids are getting old very fast also, and they get to forget you, because the English translated manga is coming so much faster. They get one each month, and that's why we have created a studio, and it seems to have been successful, because now we have a contract on a 6 volumes manga, and the plan is to make it in 3 years, which is still too long if you ask us. But at the same time, you can't really live on making comics in Sweden, so we are doing many other side projects, like creating games and doing other illustration commissions meanwhile.
But we also started because we wanted to inspire each other, so we usually like criticizing each other when we're working with the story or the drawing, so that we can keep ourselves getting better, so we don't get lazy and then just drawing and everything is always the same.
Yeah, he was really working hard with me because I was really spoiled. I was like, okay, now I've gone out for shopping and I've got home and I say, no, I can't draw today because I've been out. It's not the mood. And he says, forget it, just sit down and work because you have a deadline tomorrow. And I say, no, I'm not commissioned. That was a long time ago. And he says, just pretend I'm the boss. Not again.
so they need to...
So now I can work even when I come home from a trip. It's really boring to get to work like that. But when you are working professionally, you can't be spoiled anymore.
And we used to say that people cannot wait till they get inspired, because we need to work anytime. So if we get a job, we cannot wait until we get inspired or wait till the last day, because so we need to get professional and then we can sit down and draw.
Yeah.
Sorry. Don't mind if I ask a question.
Yeah,
is it, first of all, congratulations upon your English.
Thanks.
my Swedish will be nowhere near. whilst I recognise there's cross-fertilisation between English, Hong Kong, Japanese, Swedish, can you identify the differences between manga in those different countries, or originating from those different countries?
Well,
I recognise there's a difference in quantity,
yeah,
because obviously your output is not the same as in the UK or Hong Kong. But the actual difference, so that if I could read all those languages, I can read the Chinese,
yeah,
I can read the Cantonese and Mandarin, I can read the English, but I can't read the Swedish. How would I recognise, or what differences would I see?
That's a very good and very difficult question.
Yeah. I think, well, we have a problem with a lot of people just trying to copy Japanese manga, and I think it's the same in the UK or in Sweden or in the US or wherever. So I would say it's more on an individual level.
Yeah.
So far, I haven't seen, that's too few yet to see those national trends, I think. But have you seen anything?
No, we can't. Well, we can't just judge.
By the cover or the drawings, because many people think that manga is just big eyes and small mouth and no nose, but actually we think of manga as the way to tell a story. It's not need to be like big eyes, because Japanese draw manga not only with big eyes, because they have the alternative style also, and that may be more familiar with the American type of drawing.
It's like movies, the directors using the Greek dramaturgic telling in a story, and you can't tell now what director it is, where they come from when they tell a movie, when they make a movie. It's the same thing with the manga.
Yeah.
It works very well to relate it to movies.
I'd say that's definitely a quality which is sort of Swedish in the Swedish comic scene, but I'd say that these creators are saying it's just true that we have too few Swedish comic artists working professionally with a manga inspired sort of style to say that this is Swedish manga. We can't really say that yet.
Turn it around another way.
Yeah.
If I anticipated taking Swedish manga, translating and producing here in the UK, what problems would you anticipate?
Well, actually, now when we are doing our Swedish manga, our publisher wanted to be influenced by the Swedish culture and how the Swedish kids today live and what they wear and how they talk, so that the kids today will recognize themselves. But now Swedish and England, it's almost the same culture. We maybe have this called midsummer. I think you guys have it too.
Midsummer murder.
Yeah. Midsummer we dance in Sweden.
Yeah, we dance and celebrate. So it's maybe that kind of
the conflict. Summer.
I think that's the answer. That you probably wouldn't get any problem because firstly, the manga scene is very global, and then also the whole culture is very global at this stage. And Sweden is a very tiny country, so that's why we speak English, because otherwise we don't have anyone to talk to, so we have to speak Swedish. So I think that comics made in Sweden can probably work pretty well abroad. But on the other hand, in Sweden we have the major magazine for kids. It's a book called Bamse, which is sort of funny animals for kids. And reading that in Sweden, you'd think, well, this is sort of just stories for kids. And they've tried publishing that abroad and it doesn't work at all. It's very, very, very Swedish. But we don't see that. So it might be that I'm lying to you right now. I don't know.
Well, but obviously, I have three stories in your manga book, so...
And actually, I'm also the head of a comic art school in Sweden. And what I tell my students who are interested in manga and drawing manga style comics is, please tell stories about your own life. Please tell stories that take place in Sweden and are influenced by Swedish culture. Do not try to do or copy what they do in Japan. There are thousands and thousands of people in Japan doing that.
Exactly.
So please do something in Sweden based on Swedish culture, and that will probably translate well in other countries, just because it's Swedish and it's probably exotic or whatever. So
exactly. I totally agree with you, because if they want a Japanese style manga, then they would probably buy it from Japan, not from Sweden.
No.
So but also we can learn from the Japanese artists and the way they are telling their story, and then just putting our inputs in it about our friends or how we chase the bus to get to the supermarket instead of the Japanese way, and just make it more Swedish and eat meatballs instead of sushi.
Yeah.
So that will maybe.
That was actually one of our editor's conditions. We really want this manga with you, but please put Swedish influences in it. So we were really sitting there, shall we have this dance by midsummer? We thought, no, it is not natural to just put it there, So we have to make a balance. It has to be natural in the context of the telling. So that's really tough.
Yeah. And then we like the Japanese crazy stuff.
The funny humor.
Yeah, the funny humor.
Yeah.
And we tried to make it a Swedish version of it, that maybe some great expressions with the face and how they talk a little bit, but still keep it Swedish.
Yeah.
Can I ask a question?
Yeah.
I know you guys work in studio, so how does it work in sort of dividing who does what, and how do you sort of keep a uniformity of style? I mean, do you have big arguments about character designs at the very beginning, and how do you maintain it for the works?
We are very free in the studio, actually. We have had a lot of illustration commissions so far. We have always been like this, like when the commission comes in, we will talk together and see which artist will fit the best to do this commission. So everybody has worked on everything. But sometimes some commissions are very large and heavy to do. Then we have one main artist because we want to keep
the unity.
The unity, just like you say. Yeah. And then we are working as assistants to each other. And now when we are doing this longer graphic novel, these roles are kind of set for this project. So we have Kaifa here as the story writer. And I do the thumbnails, and I do the layout and paneling. And then
the line art?
The line art. And then I send it over to my cousin, who's sitting in another city than me. And she puts the blacks, the contrast in it, so it will be more interesting to look at.
Yeah.
And then she will send it over to my sister, who lives close to me, and she will put some screen tones in it. And then we send it to Kaifa again.
And then I write the script.
Yeah, he wraps it together,
yeah.
Put the text in the balloons.
So we are working very digitally.
Yeah.
So we have internet, and we're just sending pictures and sending files. So it's...
we don't work so traditionally. Most of our... manga creating friends in Sweden, they like to use these A3, B5, B4 papers, and it's really nice, but it doesn't fit the studio.
Yeah,
we're very digital.
It's very hard to send the real copy and then wait for it to make
send it by post.
Yeah, send it by post.
Yeah.
They bend it over to fit the...
Yeah.
So it's...
But the most important part has always been, how do we make the comic most efficiently? What is the fastest way to produce it? And we find the digital way one of the best way. We don't have to run to our editor the same day and say, here's the script, take it. But we can send it to them, put it on the server and let it load the whole night, and then we go to sleep. And then we wake up, and sometimes we go crazy because, the server got down. Now we have to run there anyway. But usually the technique is very good in Sweden.
Yeah. Fast internet.
Yeah.
And what you have there is actually because I've been to Japan a couple of times. Last time I was invited to Kodansha, which is the major publisher, and I was at one of the editorial boards there. And I was amazed at finding a whole section where they had people just sort of scraping away words in balloons and applying new words. I was like, what's this all about? I said, well, this is when they take the manga pages from the manga anthology and they redo them for publishing in a stand-up book format. And those actually people sitting there scraping away with a knife on the paper. And I said, wouldn't it be more efficient to do this in a computer? Said, well, yeah, maybe, but that would be a big transition and that would be difficult. So we're doing it the traditional way. So you might have an edge there compared to actual people in Japan doing comics.
Yeah, but at the same time, a lot of people get employed in Japan.
Well, true.
Japan is a bigger country.
Yeah, it is. Well, that's one of our problems. I mean, we're 9 million Swedes.
Yeah.
It's a pretty big country, but there's very few of us. So we're sort of, we're standing there going, hello, anyone here?
Which
means that if you work as a comic artist, it's a small market.
Yeah.
So probably if you do a big project like this, your publisher will have to look at the market abroad as well.
They will try.
Yeah.
I think we will do that ourselves also, because it takes so long time. We have a very nice publishing company we're working with, Dave Alstroms. We have a very good relationship with them, and we like our editor a lot. She's really lovely, but everything is going so slow. and we need to live also. We need to pay our rent. We need to get some food. We want to travel sometimes each year. So that's also why we are here. We want to meet some publishers and such. So if you know anybody, you can recommend them to us.
That's actually what you need to do always.
If you're
a comic artist, you can never rely on your publisher ever. You have to work on your career as well.
Yeah, that's also what we have been working on a lot in our manga studio. Many artists maybe don't realize that they today are also businessmen and they have to market themselves. We would also like to sit there home at our homes and draw the whole day long, but sitting only in your room will never make people see that you are actually there. So,
only if you're really, really lucky.
Really, really lucky. Yeah. Really, really good.
Okay, on next week's show, Alex Fitch is talking to Tom Humberston and Matthew Sherritt about their new anthology, Solipsistic Pop, which intends to bring American-style indie comics, both in terms of content and print quality, to UK bookshops. Alex also talks to contributing artists Julia Scheel and Stephen Collins about their work. If that's piqued your interest, before then, Julia and Matt will also be selling their comics under their own publishing imprint, We Are Words and Pictures, at the Girl Germs Pop and Punk Club at the Camden Head, 100 Camden High Street, from 7 p.m. on Saturday the 17th of October. So keep the date free. For more info about that and links to today's guests, Yoke Studio, please visit our blog at www.panelborders.wordpress.com, where you'll find an archive of all our previous shows and current events and news and things. Okay, thanks for listening.